We are starting a new series this month, and it's just, some series are a little bit heavier, a little bit more just even maybe sometimes hard. This series is meant to be life-giving and just really full of encouragement. Even just in the title, Made for More. We are made for more. One of the things that we've been praying for, we gather on Saturdays and we pray, and we've been praying for more of God, more of His presence, right? More of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, right? Self-control. We are asking God for more. And in this world, I know it can get difficult and it can get hard, and we can just feel so lost and like we're not even seen or known. And I want to tell you today, no matter where you find yourself, God sees you, God loves you, you matter, and you have a purpose. You're breathing, which we all are. You're breathing, you have air in your lungs, then there's a purpose for your life still. No matter your age, no matter how long you've served the Lord, no matter what you've done, there's still a purpose. And God has made you for more. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And just to be able to be encouraged about what that looks like in our lives. Amen. So have you ever looked back at your life, or maybe your year, or maybe just your work week, or maybe just today even, and thought, what was that all about? Have you ever had one of those spaces of time where you're like, that's been really heavy and really hard, and you almost can't catch your breath? Anybody else besides me? Okay, oh good, I'm not alone. The thing is that Jesus is the only one that can make sense of the chaos, of the mess, of our deep confusion sometimes, deep pain, deep loss. This season for many of us has felt like deep loss, just a lot of grief over passings and just... But the great thing is that Jesus can turn a mess into a message, misery into ministry, and a mistake into a mission. That's the power of the Jesus that we talk about, right? We just came out of a series, The Cross-Shaped Life. That's the Jesus that will take our brokenness and make it into something beautiful, like a masterpiece, like a beautiful piece of art. So the reality is, if you look around right now, look at each other, each of you are this beautiful piece of art. Now, raise your hand if you feel like a beautiful piece of art. Now, did you notice, though, the reality is nobody really raised their hand. So the fact is, although that is true, you don't feel or sense that. That's because the enemy of your soul has been able to get to your ear. He's used the people of the world, the relationships of your world, the world, right, to tell you that you're less than how God has created you to be. So that's why this series is so important, to remind us, to remind you, to remind me that we have purpose and that we've been made for more. More than your past, more than your pain, more than just surviving. We're not here to just survive. Like, oh, I made it through life. No. John 10:10 says, the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I, meaning Jesus, has come to give life and life to the full, more abundantly. When we live in Him, then we can walk that out. There's no other way. We do it our own way. When you do it your own way, I promise you it will look like this. Chaos, hurt, pain. The list goes on. When we do it our own way, when you do it God's way, there's grace and mercy and love, forgiveness, hope, all the fruit of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. When you do it His way, doesn't mean life will be perfect, doesn't mean there won't be problems and issues. But what it does mean is when you walk with Jesus, He's walking right with you. Through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23 talks about. We're not alone. Amen? Oh, that's so beautiful. You were made to be a masterpiece in the hands of the Creator. So I want some of you to understand that. When you were created in your mother's womb, long time ago for some of us, not so long for others. But you were designed by the Creator. You were put together. Everything about who you are was set and designed. So no matter how you feel today, the truth is that God created you and that you're perfect just as you are. I know many of us may have wished we could have looked different, been different, had a different personality, all the things. So we have to come in alignment with that. I remember growing up feeling very sad that I was short and a little stubby. You know, I'd look at my tall friends and they were slender and tall, and I was like, oh, I just had a few more inches, you know, right? I have short arms. People used to call me T-Rex, you know, because I got short arms, and I'm like, well, I got short legs, so I mean, kind of matches, but okay. But you know, right, we all have all had those things where we just have felt less than. Let me tell you, that's not from God. That's from the enemy of your soul trying to tell you you're less than who the designer has designed you to be. So you have to take back that. Scripture says, take captive those thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. Otherwise, that's why we have folks stuck in depression, stuck in anxiety, because the lies are winning. They're believing the lies of the enemy. We're going to look at some scripture today. Some of it will be familiar. Ephesians 2:10 is kind of like our main scripture, right? I don't have my side one today. Ooh, nice. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so that we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. Now, we're going to just pause a minute. Scripture is true, authored from God's Holy Spirit to us, for we are God's masterpiece. So again, regardless of how you feel, the truth is you are his perfect masterpiece. I want you to absorb that today. I want you to let down the reasons why you have not believed that in the past. Let it go. Take the labels off. Doesn't matter what people have said. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter. The truth is we are his masterpieces. And when we look at each other, when we interact with each other, we better be operating that way with each other. Honoring one another. You're a masterpiece. You're God. God put you together. Makes a difference, right? Then it says, so we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. Going back to when we were created in our mother's womb, it was all set. The course was all set. The journey was all set. God had plans, perfect plans from that time. And as we grow, and as we hopefully walk with him, those things can be fulfilled. We're made for more. So let's ask ourselves a question. What is a masterpiece? I'm going to name a couple artists. You probably might know them well. So I'm going to name the work of art, and I'm going to see if you can name the actual designer. All right. These are easy, so you should be able to get them. All right. The art piece is called The Starry Night. Anybody know? Van Gogh, absolutely, all right. Well known for that artwork, that painting, all right, very good, good job. The next one is The Creation of Adam at the Sistine Chapel. Michelangelo, right? Very well known. He's well known for his painting of the Sistine Chapel, all right. Next one, this one's easy, Mona Lisa. Leonardo, not DiCaprio, Leonardo da Vinci, yes. Yes. All right. These artists are remembered by their iconic work, the well-known, the beauty of that. That's how powerful a masterpiece is. It defines the artist. So think about God, the creator of the universe, and all that he's done, the things that we don't even see, we can't even measure because we're just human. We only have certain telescopes and things that can even measure parts of a universe. There's universes, galaxies, I mean, things that go beyond that we can't even see because we don't have the ability. That's the designer, creator, God that created us. then you look at all of us individual, just in this room alone. Nobody even looks remotely the same. We have twin daughters, and even the twin daughters who are identical twins look different and are different, even in their literal sameness. Amazing! Do you think that all, that just all poof one day blew up and the big bang and wham, here we are? What logic? No. Behind every great work of art, there has to be a designer. Things don't just poof out of the air. The Apple iPhone just show up one day. Somebody had to design it and create it. So question, what is God's greatest masterpiece? Well, is it the beautiful mountains? And there are so many around. How many of you like to travel? You? All right. Such beauty out there. Just even in America, beyond America too, but in America, such beautiful mountain ranges and scopes. Obviously, there's the ocean. There's multiple oceans that you can go, and they go for miles. Are those God's greatest masterpiece? What about the Grand Canyon? Anybody been there? It's incredible. You stand and you just go, wow, I'm so small, and God, you're so big. Those are all certainly masterpieces. Mount Everest, Niagara Falls, we can keep naming them. They're breathtaking. Guys, I think we lose the wonder sometimes of creation. We lose the wonder of God and what he's done and even who we are in the midst of that. We are his creation. Just like you go, oh, wow, at Niagara Falls, we should be doing that about ourselves and with each other. Not out of pride, of course, but out of wonder and awe of how great God is and how he's put us together, how he's designed us. The psalmist tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. And they really do. If you do any kind of study in the galaxies and all, I mean, it's just amazing the kind of stars and how big they are in comparison to us. Like the song, How Great Is Our God, makes a lot of sense when you start to study beyond even our galaxy and how big things are, how big our God is. But again, I want you to understand today, you were made for more than just surviving, more than success, more than just existing. There's a purpose, there's a plan. Do you know this, that our bodies are intricately designed? This is crazy. Our bodies contain 75 trillion cells. Each make up 50 billion atoms. All right, so if you wonder why you're tired, there's a lot going on in your body, okay? No, I'm being serious. Every 4 to 5 seconds, 50,000 cells die and are replaced by 50,000 new ones. It tells me a lot. I am understanding more. My body is worn out. Every 4 to 5 seconds, you're getting 50,000 new cells. I mean, that's a lot. There are 75,000 miles of arteries, veins, capillaries in our bodies. I'm sorry, that's enough to circle the earth 3 times. Surely the human body is God's greatest masterpiece. I mean, even the eye alone. But so often we take that for granted. We look in the mirror and we discount the work that the potter has done, the work that the artist has done. And I've been guilty of that. But there just comes a time where we just need to accept the artwork that God has created us to be, right? And just be who he's called us to be, whatever that looks like. The word workmanship in this verse in the Greek is poema, all right? Which is where we get the English word poem, of course. The word means much more than just a poem, though. It means literally a work of art or a masterpiece. So scripture reveals God's greatest masterpiece is you and I. So I want you just to pause right now and just think about that. You are a work of art. Whether you feel it or not, that's the facts. That's beautiful. Psalm 139, get chance, read the whole chapter. It's a really long chapter, but it talks a lot about how we were created, how we are put together. Verse 14 says, thank you, for making me so wonderfully complex. If you're married, sometimes that complex is a little frustrating, but, right, you know, but no. Thank you, Lord, for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. But again, let's go back to how often do we just go about our day? We're not even thinking about how great God is and how he's made us, how he's designed us, and what's that purpose, right? So God has a plan for you. Obviously, you don't have to follow that. You can choose, like we talked, you can choose to do your own plan. Wouldn't advise it, but lots of people do. Lots of people are. That's why our world is where it's going. There's darkness. There's a lot of stuff going on because people are doing their own thing. Doesn't work. Will never work. All right? So you were not created. See, yes, that's right. He was cheering. Amen. You were not created by accident. All right? Again, no matter how you got here, right, God used your mom and your dad, regardless if they're together, regardless if you even know them, not that it doesn't matter because God designed his family, but God used your mom and your dad to get you here, get your destiny here to show up because you need to be here at this time and this place for such a time as this. Okay? So don't let how you got here and the fact that that's all broke up and a mess and a whatever mess you up. You got to process. You got to heal. Of course, not saying that's easy. But God needed you to get here because there's something he needs you to do for him, for his kingdom. Hebrews 12:1 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to this life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." We have this purpose, right? This thing called following Jesus, right? To seek and save the lost, to be his witnesses, right? It's a race that we will be running until we get to heaven. And I guess from the scripture, you choose how weighted down you want to be, I guess. You know, we all have baggage. We all have, I kind of visual it like backpacks full of past, full of hurt, full of bitterness, you know? And I guess it's our decision if we want to try to run the race carrying all of that, or if we just say, you know what, Jesus, I surrender that. I surrender my pain. I surrender my anger, my hurt to you. Heal me. Forgive me. Help me to forgive so-and-so, right? Let us strip off every weight, whatever that is. You might have been hurt when you were young. You might have been, you know, somebody could have really just messed up your life in a sense. You don't have to continue walking that out. There's healing for that. God is a God of hope. He's a God that restores. May not have been how you wanted it to be, but God can change that. You're made for more. So let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Do you see that he says, use the magic wand that I've included and just wand it over? No, he says, let us strip off. That means there's action, and that means that you have a responsibility. Right? Like when you go home, I don't go home and be like, hey, can somebody help take my jacket off? No, I take my own jacket off, right? I strip it off myself, right? That's what the scripture's saying. Take some action for strip those things off in prayer, right? Sometimes you need counseling. Sometimes it's counseling that needs a little bit of help to walk through some things in your life. Christian counseling is super helpful when you pair it with the Holy Spirit and scripture and prayer. All right. Sometimes you just need a good friend that can pray with you about some things, that can strip off of your life, there can be some breakthrough. And then it says, and then let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. That's really my goal. I'm trying to ask the Lord to heal me, show me. I want to be able to be as light and free as possible, right? Because too, when you're more healed yourself, when you don't have as much bitterness and anger and resentment and hurt and all that, then you can show up to life, you can show up to work, you can show up to your family, and what's coming out of you is love and grace and mercy, not anger and bitterness and little side things here and, oh, I'm leaking out some gossip and here, right? Because if it's in you, it's going to come out.
And so the goal is to say, Lord, heal me. I want to be able to fulfill your plan, but I've got some work to do. Help me to strip off those weights that slow me down, that keep me hindered, amen? So that I can run the race. When God created mankind, he didn't just speak it into existence as he did with everything else. I think that's my most favorite part of Genesis, is the fact that he formed Adam with his hands. He literally picked up it with his hands and formed Adam. Everything else he said, let there be, and poof, it happened. I don't know, does that make anybody else feel really special, really awesome? He was intentional, he was personal, he was loving. He chose you before the world began. He created a plan for your life before you were ever born. Turn with me to Ephesians 1. It'll be on the screen as well. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Not only is he your designer and he's your creator, but he's chosen you. That's incredible. He didn't just say, oh, great, I made you, so I'm going to put you over here on the shelf and never think about you again. He chose you. He has a purpose and a plan. John 15, 16 says this on the screen. You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last. People often are like, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know. Well, when you know Jesus, you do know your purpose. To love God and love others. Real simple. And the rest you can fill in the gaps of what that looks like. Love God. Love others. You are his masterpiece. But masterpieces take time. Lots of time. It's a process. A long process. And that's why we have to walk with each other with grace and with love and with understanding. Because even once we know Christ and we begin to walk out the discipleship process, we don't have it all figured out. Not until heaven will we have all of that figured out. And so again, may we walk with one another with grace and love as our masterpieces are in process. Speaking of the process, let me encourage you with this. You can be a masterpiece and a work in progress at the same time, because we all are. Because we all are. We already are a masterpiece, but let's be real, right? We're a work in progress all along the way. Michelangelo took 4 years to paint the Sistine Chapel on his back. Da Vinci worked on the Mona Lisa for years and painted multiple versions underneath the final piece. God is continually working on you. It's a lifelong transformation. So to those of you that are married in the room, man, God is working on your spouse. God is working on you. We got to give more grace. We got to get more love. Chuck and I just celebrated our 11th anniversary yesterday, right? Like anything else, right? It's a journey. It's a process. You make covenant vows before God and before other people and with each other. You choose your love and you love your choice. And you just say, you know what, no matter what, we're going to walk this out. We're going to figure it out. We're going to love it out, forgive it out, right? God is continually working on all of us. We got to be patient with one another. Philippians 1:6 says this, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ returns. And I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue. He will complete it. I just love that because I know I'm in a work in progress still. I know God's working on me. He's doing things, changing things, moving things, chiseling away things. But at some point, that's going to be completed. When I stand before him face to face, I long for those days. Sometimes God works with a brush, paintbrush, and sometimes it's a chisel, right? Not out of being harsh, but sometimes some of that stuff's got to get knocked off, right? Our hearts are hard. Like gold refined in the fire, God purifies us through trials sometimes, molds us into the image of his son. Sometimes our attitude, things have to get chipped off. The Holy Spirit has to do a little bit of extra work sometimes. So sometimes it's a brush and sometimes it's a chisel. But either way, we need to embrace whatever he's doing. Because remember, we're not the designer, right? We give the brushes, we give the chisel to the creator. Say, here I am. I'm going to let you keep working. I'm a masterpiece in process. I certainly don't have it all figured out. But I know you have a plan. I know you have a purpose for my life because I'm still breathing. So use my life. Spend my life for you, Lord. Amen. Here's a quick illustration. You guys doing all right? Is it hot in here? Anybody hot? Just me. Okay, great. There's a story about a man who visited Michelangelo while he was sculpting the statue of David. The man stood in awe of the nearly finished masterpiece, and he asked, "How did you know what to carve?" Michelangelo replied, "I just chipped away everything that wasn't David." That's exactly what God is doing in your life. He sees the masterpiece there already, his son's image in you, and he's gently, or sometimes chiseling, everything that doesn't belong. I'm going to say that again. He sees the masterpiece already there, his son's image in you, and he's gently removing everything that doesn't belong, fear, shame, bitterness, pride. The chisel may be uncomfortable, but the sculptor is loving and precise, and he knows what he's doing. Isn't that beautiful? He knows what he's doing. Let me get this cough drop in here, otherwise this won't be fun. Thank you. You're the best. All right. So many of you know the life and the story of David, and we're not going to get into it in detail, but Genesis 37, 39, even through 50, it's just a perfect example. I love studying the life of Joseph. I feel like I relate a lot. But Joseph went from like favorite son to slave to prisoner to then like ruler of Egypt. That's obviously over a really long period of time. He endured betrayals, false allegations, years of being forgotten. I mean, it just, the tale of Joseph was just over and over by people that, I mean, brothers, family, people that should have loved him and cared for him. Yet over and over and over, the Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph. But the Lord was with Joseph. Because he had a plan, he had a purpose. Sometimes man will do their things because they're sin, right? Man can get in the way, but God is greater. The Lord was going to be able to use those things to be able to ultimately get Joseph where he needed to be. Even when everything seemed to be broken in Joseph's life, God was shaping him for something greater. Wow. Finally, standing before the very brothers who betrayed him, Joseph said this in Genesis 50, verse 20. All right, so this is Joseph standing before the brothers who sold him into slavery when he was a kid. He says, "You intended harm to me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people." See, at that point, Joseph had a decision. He could have been angry and bitter. He could have had them all killed, literally. But instead, he chose forgiveness. He chose grace. Because all along the way, even though he had all these trials and tribulations, he served the Lord, he loved the Lord, and the Lord was with Joseph. And so he knew that he had to extend to his brothers the very thing that he had been given by the Lord, grace and mercy. You intended harm to me, but God intended it all for good. Joseph's pain became his purpose. Guys, don't let your pain become the banner that you wear. All right, now listen, I'm not saying pain isn't real and that this is just a fluffy, oh, there's nothing wrong. No, walk with your pain, feel your pain, heal your pain, but don't wear it around like a label. eventually heal, and then that can become your greatest purpose. I know that sounds simple, like that could be a slogan on a t-shirt, your pain becomes your purpose, but it's really true. It's really, really true. His heartbreak became a platform for God's glory. What about you? What about your brokenness? What about the things in your life that have been hardships? If you bring those to the Lord, just like the little boy brought the loaves and the fish, that's all he had. Not much. And then what did Jesus do? He took it and he broke it. And then he blessed it. And it was after the brokenness and the blessing, those little loaves and fish fed 5,000 people. That's the purpose. God didn't give you the brokenness. God didn't bring the hurt and the pain. That was man. That was sin. Okay? But what if we brought that stuff to him and said, all right, this is all I got. Just got a messed up, broken life. I'm going to give it to you, Lord. And he says, okay, I'm going to take that. And you know what? I'm going to take that brokenness. I'm going to bless it. And I'm going to give it back to you, and you can use it to feed 5,000. That's really been the prayer of my life. Lord, use my life. Use the madness, the mess, where I've come from, all the things I've done wrong. Use it for your glory. And when you do that, he will. It won't be perfect, but it just matters. God has a purpose for you. You were created not just to exist, not just to come to church on Sundays, go back home, wait till another Sunday, but to walk in the good works that God has prepared for you. Let's go back to Ephesians 2:10. We started out in the beginning of the sermon with this. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Not in the world, not in the latest trends, certainly and not all the political stuff, right? You get my... No, everything else, no. In Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. That means your purpose is not just about doing good things, but about living a transformed life. And it's possible in Christ. Say it with me. In Christ. Absolutely. Another quick illustration. How many of you like puzzles? Okay. Have you ever tried to put together a puzzle without the picture on the box? I do feel like that's how a lot of people live their lives, though. Right? They got a pile of puzzle pieces, and maybe the lid's in the closet, and so they're just like trying to put together the picture and trying to jam pieces in because they have no direction, they have no guide, they have no concept of even what it's supposed to look like, right? So that matters. So without the picture on the box, it can be very frustrating. Pieces don't make sense on their own. Some feel like they don't fit anywhere. But when you see the image on the box, it gives you perspective, right? You now can see the big picture. Right? Life without God is like trying to build a puzzle with no reference. Living life without God, without a scripture, is the same thing. Trying to build a puzzle with no guide, no reference. It's impossible, painful, frustrating. It's not going to work. But when we walk with him, he reveals the picture over time, right? Little bit by little bit. Every experience, even the hard, painful ones, become a piece of his great plan. You may not see the full picture right now, right? But God does. And he never loses a single piece. And they all matter. Turn with me to Ephesians. You guys still doing good? We're about done. We're going to do worship towards the end, so don't worry if you're like, hey, we did some worship. Ephesians 4, and these are familiar scriptures. Again, today's encouragement. Today is just realigned to truth, right? We're made for more. We're made for a purpose. God has made you specific and beautiful. But it's up to us to walk with his plan. Ephesians 4 says, therefore, I, obviously Paul, a prisoner for serving the Lord, which again, yes, he was beaten. And I mean, the stuff Paul went through for serving the Lord, makes all of us not be able to ever complain about one thing, literally. Incredible. I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. I beg you to live a life, lead a life worthy of your calling. If you truly understand you're the created, He's the designer, He has a plan and a purpose, you need to live worthy of that, guys, right? And I love how it's in verse 2, always be humble and gentle. If you lead with that in your life, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be able to show people Jesus because that's who He was. Be patient with each other. I like this next part, making allowances for each other's faults. Because of your love. The world will know that we are Christ's disciples by our love. Doesn't mean that we tolerate sin. Doesn't mean that we rewrite scripture. But the world will know us by our love and how we love them. It's really important that we walk that out. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. All right, we need the Holy Spirit's help for this. Help with this. This includes loving your spouse and family as Christ does, right? Walking in truth and forgiveness, serving others selflessly, and living a life that reflects the character of Christ. None of that can we do on our own, though, right? Because going back to the cross-shaped life, we have to die daily, we have to pick up the cross, we have to ask the Lord to help us with our selfishness, because we just, by nature, are selfish. So we need the Lord's help with that. I know it's not easy. It's a big word called sanctification, right? Some of you might have heard that. But that's being made holy and set apart, transformed over time from the inside out. So all of us are in a process of sanctification. If you know Jesus, the moment you know Him, then you start that process of being set apart. And that's why grace comes in. We don't point fingers and we pray, we come alongside with grace, we walk with people who are struggling, right? It's not always easy, but God will use a chisel to remove pride, anger, comparison, addiction, bitterness, laziness, and anything else that doesn't belong, right? Anything else that doesn't bear the image of His Son in our lives. He'll just chisel away if we let Him, if we allow Him. The goal is ultimately that when we can look in the mirror, that we don't see ourselves, we see Jesus. That when we show up to our job, we show up in life, that it's not all about us, right? But that people see Jesus. They see the love and the care and the kindness, right? That it's not us showing up, but it's Jesus showing up through us. So as we close here in just a moment, couple questions I want you to ponder. Do you feel like a mess today? Are you walking through a painful season right now? Maybe you feel far from God or unsure even of your purpose. It's okay to have those questions. Maybe you've tried to fix it all on your own or kind of gone your own way. Maybe you've covered up the cracks instead of really inviting God in to restore you. Your story isn't over. Just remember, you're in process. You have to do your part, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life begun. So how do we stay in the hands of the artist? Instead of jumping out, right? How do we stay in His hands? Daily. Start with scripture. Just start your day, even if it's just one verse. Read it, on your way to work, you can think it through, pray it through. Start your day with scripture. Then talk to God honestly. Prayer doesn't have to be formal, just real. There's some times where I'm like, Lord, I just don't even know what to say. I just need help. And because he's so mighty and powerful and has it all figured out, he knows. So we don't have to have these eloquent prayers, just talking to God honestly. And then surround yourself with believers, with people who are men and women of faith and prayer that can encourage you, that can believe with you, that can point you in the right directions in the scripture and help you grow in Christ. Because here's the thing, whoever you're surrounding yourself with, that's who you're going to become. That's just a fact. So surround yourself with believers. And then lastly, ask this daily question, all right? You can do it in the morning or maybe at night. God, what part of me are you working on today? Simple question, but it shifts your mindset to one of surrender and partnership instead of I got it all figured out, right? All right, God, what do you need to work on today? How do I need to partner? What do I need to surrender, right? It changes it, changes some things. He loves us. He loves you guys so much. And I think we just need to be reminded that we are made for more than just surviving, more than just existing, that there's a purpose and a plan. And our job is to figure that out and walk that out each day. He died for your sin. He rose again so that you could live as a new creation, walking in freedom and purpose. You guys know this, Romans 10, 9 and 10, very familiar scripture. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, right, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. All right? I love that. Declare that the Lord, believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.